Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper! Y'all ready for this?
Saul Marquis, El Presidente. That's right, you have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world, along with our affiliate radio stations. We are so glad that you could join us. It's been a great week. How many people had a good Halloween? Go out there and I tell you what, we here in Indianapolis, we had to move Halloween back one day because we had some really bad weather. So I was all set up, I was going to do my graveyard and all that, and the weather pushed me back, and so everything got pushed back for the trick-or-treaters, but they were here yesterday, so I got to dress up in my grave robber killer outfit, I guess, and scare the kiddos, although I didn't scare them too bad, not too bad at all. So you know, we got some leftover trick-or-treat candy. Well, not a lot, because, you know, hey, it's leftover, and there's not anything good can happen from leftover trick-or-treat candy around my house, that's for sure. Well, we got a great show for you. Our good friend from ESPN, Walter Cox, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about last week's win with Jeff Gordon in Martinsville and the big race out in Texas. We're going to be talking about that and bringing you up to speed in NASCAR. As you know, last week we had Kevin Lee from NBC Sports join us and break down all the happenings and recap the championship of IndyCar. They are done for the year, so we are focusing all on NASCAR. NASCAR all the way. The chase is underway. Who's going to win that championship? And we're going to get into that conversation with Walter Cox. Coming up at 9:30, Jeff Kurtz, author of The Slant, NFL Draft Guide. Of course, college, it fits right into our college football segment. IU homecoming this weekend. He's on his way down there now to cover that, and he'll be calling in to talk with us about some IU football and the new slant, the NFL draft guide. It's really, really a great guide, and we'll have that information up there. I get it every year myself. And a little known fun fact about this, actually, believe it or not, a lot of NFL teams buy this book from Jeff. So it's exciting to have him on. Again, author of The Slant. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking NFL. Colts are back in action against Houston on Sunday night. We're going to be talking about that, of course, all around the NFL. And NBA broke out this week. Another Gordon, not Jeff Gordon, Eric Gordon, came back to Indiana to play against the Pacers. Obviously, a great player out down at Indiana University. He came back, and so we're going to be talking about the opening weeks and days of NBA and what can we look for in the NBA. Can you believe it's already the NBA? And then, of course, 10:30, bottom of the hour, we're going to be breaking down fantasy football huddle. We're going to get you ready. And, guys, I tell you what, if you have not prepared for this weekend for fantasy football, you are officially screwed, because six teams are on a bye this week. So that means to you that all my players are on a bye. That could very well happen, and a lot of it happened to me. It happened to Michelle, our producer, and Jared Calhoun, which joins us in the Fantasy Football Huddle as well. $2 Bill Josh is going to be joining us at the in the second hour to break down NBA, NFL, and Fantasy Football Huddle. So, guys, as you know, as always, if you blink a moment, if you just take a second to sneeze, you have missed so much on this show, guys. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back after this with our good friend Walter Cox, who's waiting in our green room. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Champ, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper, told by the trees, until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon-quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That slime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Oh.
I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My.
Am I right? Say what?
Sadler. Still there, all clear. All right, nice and smooth. I'll keep you posted on for you. 20 to go at the line. That's Sadler ahead of you. You're going to drive away from Matt. Just take care of it in case we get a restart. Coming to the white flag. City checker. Still there, still. Yeah, buddy, that's my boy. Yeah, you did it, man. What an awesome job, guys. You guys are awesome today, man. Never give up. What a fight. Woo!
That was it, man. That's how you do it. That's right, champ. Yeah!
Great job, boys. Good job, Alan. Pit crew was awesome. Way to go, Jeff.
Good job, Eddie.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. That, of course, was Radio Traffic with Jeff Gordon and the big win in Martinsville. He's won there before, so he's certainly no stranger winning there in Martinsville. And those of you with fantasy drivers out there, we told you, we said, hey, Jeff Gordon, put him up there in your starting lineup. It would be a good week to do that. Joining us now, who is right there in the thick of the action, pit spotter for ESPN, our good friend, Mr. Walter Cox. Walter, how are you doing, sir?
El Presidente. Man, you got the greatest sacks in this cue room. It's awesome.
Oh, man, I hope you're feeling better. I've heard you've been a bit underneath the weather, so I hope that you're feeling a little bit better.
I caught a little bit of, I guess we would call it race-itis. It's as if my body knows when I don't go to the track and it decides, well, we've been holding all this stuff all season. We're going to give it to you now.
There you go. Well, it's a good time to do it. I know you're taking the weekend off. You don't know. I can't say you don't know what to do with yourself because you live out there in God's country. So, are you gonna actually watch the race at home? Or are you gonna spend some time just taking the day off?
My wife is so mad at me because you know you've got qualifying, you got practice shows, and then you got the race itself. And I'm watching it all. I have race-itis. Can't get enough of it.
You're gonna be. I know Vince has the day off too. I think so. You're gonna be calling him up and say, "Hey, Vince, I just heard this on the like
yeah, he
radio.
Would love that. It's very cool. This is the one time a year. His daughter's in high school. She's one of the better, or I could almost say best runner there in Indianapolis and Indiana.
Right.
And she's won all the local championships, and they're running for her and her team are running for a state championship this weekend. So
absolutely.
He takes off to be up there with his daughter.
Hey, I understand. You know, NASCAR is very, very demanding of anybody's schedule, but I know certainly ESPN and the coverage they do, as fantastic as it is, a lot of fans don't understand the dedication that and sacrifices that families have to take in order for us race fans to be able to just sit at home and drink beer and watch NASCAR. As great of a life that is.
I wish I could introduce all your fans to our road fans. Because definitely on the road more than we're at home. So it's like having a second family. I mean, I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I'm real close with, you know, the crew, and it's unbelievable. You have two families, and we all love each other very much.
Your road family, absolutely. Well, Walter, I know you're not feeling good, so we're gonna get through this the best we can. Last week, Jeff Gordon takes Martinsville. Certainly not a big surprise for him. He's been there in victory lane before. But Jeff Gordon needed a win, needed a shot in the arm. I don't know how much this is going to do for him in the actual chase of things, but certainly if you believe in momentum and morale builder, Martinsville win was a huge win.
It was. I think he's only 27 points behind the two of Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth. But I like the way he put it during an interview yesterday. He said, I'm glad that we have this momentum. I'm glad that we got this win and got a check in that column. And it keeps us in the conversation of the chase. You know, it was weird circumstances that got him in the chase, but he's representing very well and showing the people, hey, I've still got it. And ordinarily, 27 points back, yeah, you're definitely in it. Mathematically, there's still five of them in it. But you've got to have both Matt Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson have a bad day. And maybe one's going to have a bad day, but I don't see both of them. So realistically, I don't think he's going to do it. It's just between those two, the top two right now. But with three races left, anything is possible.
Well, you're absolutely right. Certainly, Jimmy Johnson never has a bad day. Well, I guess he does, but we don't ever see it. And you know, as always, it's the usual suspects up there, and Jimmy Johnson is always there, right there with him. But you know, certainly, you look at Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, and then there's Jeff Gordon. So, I mean, another win would really help them out a lot. So let's segue that way into Texas. I know you've got the weekend off, and and you're at home down there in Tennessee. And which, by the way, before we get into that conversation, I want to give a chance to give you a shameless plug for the video. And we've been pushing it on our website, and it's on www.thebalanceonline.com. I played a little bit of it in the intro here, and we'll play a little bit more of it in the outro. You are not only a pit spotter for ESPN, but now a very accomplished music video star.
I appreciate you playing that. That was pretty cool. I heard that music. I was like, oh, no, he didn't. But, yeah, it was funny. A couple years ago, I had a camera crew, and they followed me for 2 weeks. They'd go to the track with me. They'd go to the hotel with me. They'd go to the airport with me. And then they all came out to the house and filmed a bunch of stuff out here on the farm. And I love the way they did it. It was a twist on words. For me, you know, I have my family and job on the road, my race family.
Sure.
Get to come back to the country. And that's where I live. And just in the middle was with my grandfather. When he was in the service and overseas, when he got done with his service over there, he got to come back to the country, of course, talking about the United States of America. So I love the way he twisted it around and put all everything I do in it and really shared a lot about my grandfather. It was pretty cool. And it was just a lot of fun. And the gentleman that wrote all that was Clint Wiles. And he has two or three CDs out on iTunes.
Oh, absolutely, and Clint Wiles was the voice behind the song, and we're playing the video now again on our social media. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I also was very close to my grandfather. My grandfather was in World War II in the Army during World War II, so certainly I can relate to that. But anybody that's met you knows how much you love Tennessee and how much you love to be at home in Tennessee, and I just thought that was a perfect video. So go check it out right now. You can check it out on www.thebalanceonline.com or on Twitter, T-Balance, or on our social media, Facebook, The Balance and what have you. That video is up there. And certainly, so when you called your wife, Walter, you said, hey, Walter, I'm bringing over a few guys for dinner tonight because they're following me around with the camera. Did she say, get out of my kitchen. Get out of my kitchen with that camera.
You're going to make me divulge the secret, aren't you? The crew is up here on the front porch. They're ready for me to do my my leaving the house scene, and my wife is supposed to be on the porch to kiss me and tell me goodbye. And so I holler in the door, say, hey, honey, right. They're ready for you. She says, I don't want to do it. Let your cousin Christy do it.
So is that your wife or your cousin Christy?
No, when she's waving goodbye, that's my cousin Christy.
You got a kiss there, I know. That was your cousin,
well, my wife,
right?
Yeah, she was. My wife was on the other side of the door. She saw everything.
Just so I get this straight. So the woman that kissed you at your home in Tennessee was actually your cousin.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and
my
we
goodness.
Have a kissing
cousin. I can have so much fun with that right now, Walter, but I won't.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Hey, you know, I can just now say officially is true down in Tennessee. No, I'm kidding. That was awesome. That's a great little – that's one of those pop-ups we'll put in the video. You should put in the video. When this scene was shot, Mrs. Cox was actually behind the door. That's great. That's fantastic.
Well, when it goes viral and I go on Good Morning America, we'll do a pop-up video with it.
That's right. Pop-up video. When this scene was shot, Mrs. Cox was behind the door. This is actually Walter's first cousin. That's great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Walter, all right, so let's get into Texas. We got a big race down there in Texas. Everything's big in Texas, and even the Colts are going to be in Texas this weekend. So as everybody knows, Texas is a big race, and, you know, they get the big six-shooters and just really do it up right there in victory lane. And Texas is a big mammoth track, and it takes a lot to win out there in Texas. So give us some of the keys to the race. You're out there, you're doing – I know you're – I'm used to you saying you're out there, but you're not out there. But let's pretend that you are. You're doing your race prep, and you're doing – you're talking to drivers. What are some of the things that you think they would be telling you if you were there today?
Well, according to all the practices and qualifying that we saw yesterday, the big turn 4 is going to be trouble for all the people in Texas. The bumps are more pronounced, and the drivers are having a harder time getting across them. So they can get the car set up perfectly. That's easy for me to say. Perfectly for 1, 2, and 3, but 4 is where they're struggling. And when you hit those bumps like that, your splitter hits the track, and when the splitter hits, you don't have traction, and the car is going the last direction you had it pointed in. And I could see during qualifying, man, they was working those wheels inside those cars, and it was a lot of trouble. And as the sun beats down on the track and it gets older and older, you know, they become more pronounced. So that's going to be the biggest struggle. I think one of the coolest things I saw out of this weekend, my son is down there working, so I'm still well represented. He worked a truck race last night. And
oh, wow.
The number 3 truck, yeah, of Ty Dillon, one of the Dillon brothers, who raced in Martinsville last weekend and got into an altercation on the track with Kevin Harvick. Now, both these guys drive for RCR Racing, and they had some really heated and mixed words, and I thought it was so cool the way Ty Dillon handled it last night. He had the opportunity. Kevin Harvick made the comment, these Dillon boys are fed with a silver spoon. They're giving all of this money and taken care of, and that's why our cars don't run well. And he was just glad he was leaving RCR. And everybody's like, whoa, can't believe he just said that. And when Ty won the race last night and got out of the truck, you expected him to throw it in Kevin Harvick's face, like, yeah, I'm still the man, or oh, this or that or the other. No, he never even went there. He brought up his conditioning coach and how he reminded him to be a good sport, to be thankful for where you are and what you have and what you're doing, if you're doing what you love doing in life. And that's the road he took. And I was so proud of him for doing that. I mean, just, you know, little 18, 19, 20-year-old guys, they're the future of the sport. Richard Childress is bringing them up, no question. But it was very cool to see that kind of restraint from a young man. I'm really excited for them moving their way up in NASCAR.
Absolutely. And you know what? I just learned something new about it. I didn't know that your son was in the industry. What's he doing out there? Is he doing pretty much the same thing you're doing for the Truck Series? Or?
Oh, he's a pit spotter for ESPN as well. He works with Jamie Little, Mike Massaro. He's down there with Mike Massaro this weekend. And, yeah, he does more than half of the races during the season. So it's so cool that I get to spend the weekend with my son.
Well, that is awesome. That is fantastic. And you're going to have to extend an invite on from us to your, what's your son's name?
Brian.
To Brian Cox needs to come on the show, and we need to find out some secrets about Walter.
No, you've already got the kiss and cousin secret. That's all you get out of me.
Hey, that's all we need. That's gonna launch us to number one this weekend anyway, right there. So that's all we need. Hey, so Nationwide O'Reilly Parts Challenge ESPN2 obviously kicks off at 3:30. So we look at the Nationwide Series. What's going on in there? Bring us up to speed, no pun intended, but bring us up to speed with the Nationwide Series as we approach the end of this year of 2013.
I really questioned last year when the 22 car became available in the Cup Series, and Sam Hornish Jr. drives in the Nationwide Series. Everybody was really expecting him to be handed the keys for the Cup ride. And he wasn't. It was given to Joey Logano, and everybody questioned that move. Like, why? Sam has been doing so well in the Nationwide Series. Why didn't they move him up? Well, come to find out, it was sponsorship responsibilities, and Penske already had this plan going. And now it looks like we're seeing the plan come to fruition. Sam Hornish in the 12 car in the Nationwide Series is on the verge of winning his first championship. For Sam Hornish. Penske, of course, has one with Brad. But it would be so cool to see how, you know, we see the now and they see the then, and they watched it and it's unfolding and it looks like it's going to happen, and it's going to be exciting. It's still down to 2 or 3 drivers down there as well. So, but Texas, my goodness. There's 2 places I really got to personally experience speed. Texas is one of them, Indianapolis is the other. But if you could ever have the chance of sitting down at the bottom row in turn one at Texas mm-hmm. and watching cars come right at you, and oh, my goodness, it's just, whew, and they're gone. You can feel it. You can see it. And it's so loud, and I hope I can somehow express that to all your fans out there, the speed at Texas is coming this weekend. Where last weekend we qualified at a little over 100 mile an hour. Now we're 190-something mile an hour. 200 going into the turns. That is amazing. I've taken a ride in the pace car, and we was barely doing 100, and I was still scared.
Oh, my goodness. That is huge speeds, especially when you look at NASCAR and how far they've come. We know that one thing about Texas, it goes really fast, and it's huge. Now, how big of an impact, and we move on over here to tomorrow's big race with the Chase at the Sprint Cup's AAA Texas 500, obviously going to be on there on the network on ESPN at 3 o'clock as well. But let's break this race down. We talked about Matt Kenseth, Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson. Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch is right there in the mix. And you look at Clint Bowyer, all of those guys right there in the mix. But who benefits most, I guess, from a win in Texas in the Chase?
Wow. Any of them, you get more bonus points for having that win. You get more bonus points for leading the most laps. And every single one, oh, and also just leading a lap, every single bonus point counts. And everybody is on their A game. I love the way Jeff Gordon explained it. He says, we are at our best right now, and that's what it takes to get this done, to go for that championship. The pit crew is flawless. He's hitting his marks out on the track. The pit calls are great. The spotter's doing his job. It's a team effort for everybody involved. And, yeah, everybody's got to be on their A game. We cannot have any hit the wall, bumping off each other. And they're so sensitive now, the cars, aerodynamically, especially at a high-speed track like this, you can't afford to wrinkle your fender and bump somebody and, you know, push them like you used to. Used to, these cars were indestructible, but now, my goodness, a mosquito bounces off the fender, and, oh, no, I'm aerodynamically tight. But, yeah, everybody's going to be on their best behavior, and you saw where Greg Biffle and Jimmy Johnson had words after last week's race. So, you know, sit on the edge of your seat when those two get close together, but I don't expect anything to happen, but just in case.
Just in case. Be ready. What I want to know is when that mosquito does slam into that car after the race, are they taking their gloves off and just swatting the heck out of that mosquito? throwing their gloves
no, inside the car, they
mosquito.
Take their gloves off and they turn into a ninja.
Walter, it's always so much fun to have you on. I know you're not feeling good. I hope you get to feeling better, and I hope that you have a great weekend. Real quickly, and we're gonna play this video as we go out. But real quickly, where can people find your work? And obviously, you can Walter, you can you're all over Facebook, and we love following you on Facebook. If you want people to follow you on Facebook, you've more than welcome to put that information on there. But we love having you on, Walter. So really, any final thoughts about the Chase, NASCAR, Kissing Cousins, anything you'd like to throw in, sir?
Yeah, I'd like to throw some snacks at you right now in this queue room. But I'm really excited about the end of the season, and it's good to see nobody just running away with it. And even if these two mess up, we've still got three guys waiting in the wings to come take over. So it's not over until the last race there in Homestead, and it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I know all your fans are, and it's going to be something else.
Well, we love having you on, Walter. You're awesome. We're gonna go out and end a break with Back to the Country video that Walter starred in, it's a great video. If you've not checked it out, go to our website www.thebalanceonline.com and check that video out. It's performed by Quiles. But Walter Cox is in the starring role. Walter, you have yourself a good weekend, and enjoy your time back in the country this weekend, sir.
Tom, it's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. Shout out to all the minions out there. Woo, go El Presidente.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Green. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mompkey.
Ladies and gentlemen,
after a day of speaking with and listening,
it's time for...
Please. Tell us your name.
Elizabeth Green.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Well, Elizabeth, last week, week 8, you had another good week, 7-3, which takes your season up to 45-35. Pretty good job.
I know. That's why I'm Elizabeth the Greek.
That's why you're Elizabeth the Greek. Let's start off in college. We're going to hout it out to the Mountain West. We've got the Boise State Broncos or the Colorado State Rams.
Colorado State Rams.
Colorado State Rams. Moving on to the Big 12, we have number 18 Oklahoma State Cowboys or the number 15 Texas Tech Raiders.
Number 15 Texas Tech Raiders.
The Texas Tech Red Raiders. To the Big 10, we have Big Brother versus Little Brother. We have number 21, Michigan Wolverines, or the number 22, Michigan State Spartans.
Number 22, Michigan Spartans.
Michigan State Spartans. Now the big game of the week. Game day is going to be there. Both teams daddy hates. If there's a way I could see both of them lose, I would love to. But
why?
I don't like either of them.
That's mean, you know.
I know it's mean, but daddy's got a long, long history of not liking either of these schools. So let's go with the number 7, Miami Hurricanes, or the number 3, Florida State Seminoles.
Florida State Seminoles.
Florida State Seminoles. And finally, do you go with the Naval Academy Midshipmen or the Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That's my favorite.
That is cool. Let's move on to the NFL. We have a 1 o'clock game. We have the New Orleans Saints or the New York Jets.
Favorite team.
The New Orleans Saints? All right, the New Orleans Saints. Another 1 o'clock game, we have the San Diego Chargers visiting the Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins.
The Washington Redskins. Moving on to 4 p.m., we have the Baltimore Ravens or the Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns. On to Sunday night, Indianapolis Colts or the Houston Texans.
The Indianapolis Colts.
You're going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. And finally, we have Monday night. We have the Chicago Bears or the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers.
Go with the Green Bay Packers. Three quarters of your family is going to love this. The other half's going to hate it. So, who picked those?
Elizabeth the Geek. Now, share a like me on Facebook, facebook.com/Elizabeth the Geek. And make sure to like me on Facebook.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek, always love hearing her picks right here on Saturday morning. My name is Mark Wazell, Presidente. Special thanks to Uncle Walter, our good friend, pit spotter for ESPN, hanging out with the likes of Vince Welch every weekend. And what a fun time it is to have him on with us. We're getting ready to jump into our college football Saturday, my friends. Abso-freaking-lutely.
His head on straight, he's going to play a long time on Sunday afternoon. I mean a long time.
I'm waking. All right, welcome back to the Ballots. It is College Football Saturday. Myself and joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. And Jeff Kurtz is going to be joining us here in just a moment. Author of The Slant, Rookie Draft Guide for 2014. Coming out with the second version of The Slant. And we'll have all the information for you to be able to order that. Mr. $2 Bill Josh, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. First of all, Tom, congratulations on the Cards making it to the World Series. Sorry, it didn't turn out better for you.
Hey, man, it's one of those things. It didn't happen. Maybe we should have grew one of those beards. I don't know, but hey, Boston strong, and you know, and if it was anybody but the Cardinals, I'd be ecstatic to see Boston win the World Series, but. I still am. From the aspects of Boston Strong and the city needed a World Series, I still am. But, you know, hey, it's one of those things. It is what it is. Speaking of beards, guys, go to our Facebook, www.facebook, and just find us on Facebook. But The Balance, look at the bearded minions. We have our minions, our beard, Duck Dynasty beards. And so we're got that. So if you want to sport a Duck Dynasty beard, you can definitely get the app on iPhone. All right, $2 Bill Josh, it's homecoming down at IU. I know Jeff Kurtz is on his way down there now. I've got Purdue and Ball State, so we'll start with Ball State so that we could hang tight and talk IU football with Jeff Kurtz. Ball State, as we look at Ball State in today's game, what are some of the keys that you're looking at with Ball State University?
Well, as you know, Ball State is 7-1 on the year. They're having a pretty good season under head coach Pete Limbo and quarterback Keith Winning. They need to come out basically with cliches, not turn the ball over, get off to a fast start, and but that's solid defense they have.
Right,
they down the opponent.
Right, and they are you there, Josh? I thought we lost you. Also joining us now is Mr. Jeff Kurtz, author of The Slant, rookie guide, NFL draft guide, and on his way down to IU, which is homecoming down there. Mr. Jeff, welcome back to The Balance, sir.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to have you. Well, we were just getting ready to talk a little Ball State and Purdue, but we'll put that on the back burner because we certainly want to spend some time talking about IU and some must-wins IU must have. IU still has the capability of getting to a bowl game, but they have to win some must-win games. Today, homecoming, IU has to win this game against the Minnesota Gophers, and they're starting to turn it on a little bit. Keys to the game, IU, Minnesota today. What does IU have to do to come away from a win with a win on homecoming, something they've not been able to do in a few years?
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself, Tom. They do face a stretch of must-win games and winnable games at home against Minnesota, Illinois, and Purdue, but you have to go out and do that and not just talk about it on paper. Minnesota is kind of a surprising team. They've caught fire here, and it just so happens to coincide with their coach, Jerry Kill, who has epileptic seizures. He's kind of taken a leave of absence, has been around the team on game days, has talked to them, but basically watched from the press box, and Tracy Clays has done a really nice job as the interim coach, a role that he's filled before for Jerry Kill at Northern Illinois when Kill was undergoing kind of the same type of medical issues. They are a ball control, smash-mouth running team. Like IU, they do play two quarterbacks in Mitch Leidner and Philip Nelson. Nelson will probably get the bulk of the playing time today. He is the better thrower of the two, but don't be surprised if you see some Leidner in there as well. Very strong running game. Cobb is their top ground gainer, averaging over 5 yards per carry. He's picked up over 600 yards rushing. They are a very fundamentally sound team. They've won two games here recently on the road at Northwestern and then the upset, I guess you would call it an upset, of Nebraska, maybe a Nebraska team that isn't quite as good as what people had projected last week at Minneapolis. So they're on a roll, 6-2. They're bowl eligible for the earliest time in their in the school's history and really riding a wave of momentum. IU hasn't played in a couple weeks, and maybe that's a good thing. In terms of offense, you know, the Hoosiers are ranking in the top 10 in about every statistical category you want to look at from an offensive production standpoint, points scored, total yards gained, but their defense has been the Achilles heel of the last several seasons, and it may be one of the worst that we've seen here. And that's really the detriment and what's holding them back from being above 500 and really being solid. They're having to play a lot of young people, and I think it's a combination of scheme, talent deficiency, or lack of experience. And maybe I think you have to throw coaching in there as well. Doug Mallory, the co-defensive coordinator, has really been under a lot of heat, and unless they can turn it around some way the last half of the season, I think he's on very thin ice afterwards.
Absolutely, and very, very thin ice. And joining us also is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, you like to talk about these coaches on thin ice. You hear what Jeff Kurtz was just talking about. We're talking about the IU-Minnesota game, obviously homecoming down there at IU, and the history between IU and Minnesota typically doesn't have a lot of meaning. But this game could have a lot of meaning in the big picture of things, Josh.
I agree. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and Tommy, you have to give me credit. I'm usually right on these types of things.
You're right, you're right, Josh. Sometimes you're right. But it's like extended right. It's not immediate right. So go ahead.
I'm going to predict that if IU loses today, Wilson, you have about 4 games left at Indiana University before he's going to realize, gee, I didn't think anything. And I hope, and Jeff, maybe you can get into this when you get to Purdue, that Coach Hazel has less than 4 games left at Purdue. If I was you, I would send somebody down to watch Jerry, to watch the Minnesota interim coach today and offer him a contract before he could get back on the bus.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'll let you take that. Because here's the thing. We could see a – you know, I don't know that IU is ready to get rid of Kevin Wilson, but Kevin Wilson certainly is in a situation to where before maybe he didn't really have to worry about his job. I don't know that Purdue – I think Purdue is pretty forgiving. Maybe not as forgiving as IU, but I think we got to let Purdue work out its kinks. And sometimes the only way you can do that is to make the mistakes and see what happens, much like Obamacare, Jeff.
Well, I've been fortunate enough as part of doing the research on the draft guide for next year. I've tried to see everybody. So I've been at Ball State. I've been up at West Lafayette watching Purdue. And I've seen IU a couple times, and we'll see them a couple more times before the end of the season. Kevin Wilson is a self-proclaimed offensive guy. He doesn't stick his nose a lot in the defensive room. IU's problem has always been on defense, going back to shoot when I was in school and years before that. It's just been a chronic problem, not being able to recruit good enough athletes and have the depth to hold up over the long season, especially in the Big Ten. And the conference in college football has kind of morphed from a smash-mouth Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, 3 yards in a cloud of dust philosophy to really you know, more of a passing attack. I think that IU struggled really just to keep up with the Joneses. They've always been skilled and had a few players offensively. And this year is, I mean, nothing's wrong with the offense. I do question the two quarterback platoon system a little bit. I think he should stick with probably Nate Sudfeld, but he likes to stick Trey Roberson in, and he offers some mobility. I think the problem is scheme a little bit from a defensive standpoint, and it hasn't gotten better. I think he was – I don't want to go out too big of a limb, but I'm not sure that Mallory may have been his top choice. I think it was probably foisted a little bit on him that he's a candidate and a link back to IU's glorious past. I just think that they probably should have made a lot more progress than what they have under Wilson's tenure from a defensive standpoint. And ultimately, the head coach is accountable for that kind of thing. So I wouldn't see a change from a head coaching standpoint this season, but I think he will be forced to make a change defensively. And then next year, if they're not in a bowl and a pretty solid bowl team at that, I think there could be some issues. The recruiting has picked up a lot, but he still misses out on an awful lot of guys, especially within the state of Indiana, who in the state of Indiana is producing more college-ready players all the time. It's a little bit of a disappointment to see those guys trickle off to the bigger-name programs. But, I mean, it's the very fact that we're talking about it, you know, it's out there. If they don't have a good showing today, if they get beat, if that really tosses out their chance of being bowl eligible, then I think there's going to be a lot of hard questions asked down the stretch and, you know, a lot of disappointment. And the other side of that is, you know, IU's pumped a lot of money into the football program, resources, improvements, things of that nature, infrastructure. They're looking to see a return. Right now, we're looking at a 3-4 team, and the loss that really sticks out, and I was thinking about this right before I called in, is that game against Navy. No way should IU have lost that game. Navy is a very average team at best. They'll probably get drubbed in South Bend today against Notre Dame, and they've lost. Their record is not impressive on the season. The fact that IU lost to them in Navy's first game, I think that's going to come back to haunt them at the end of the season.
We're talking with Jeff Kurtz, author of The Slant, the rookie guide to the NFL draft. I apologize. Also, blogger and writer for Bears Claws, who covers the Chicago Bears, on his way down to IU for homecoming. And Josh, we're going to get right to you in just a minute here. But I, you know, one of the things I do want to talk about, because you are the author of the Slant last year, great book. And I don't know how many you sold, but you put it together in such a method that, I tell you what, ideally, that's a perfect book to have laying on the desk in the war room in NFL teams across. I don't know if you've approached them about selling that book, but that was a fantastic book. So we look at 2014, the slant coming out again, and I used it a lot as research material on my show, and I've referred to it back many times as we look at some of the players that are in the NFL now. So I've got my little bit of a list going, and certainly it's very early right now, but as we look at some of these top prospects, and Josh, we'll get to you to chime in here in just a moment, but we look at some of my top five, if you will, you know, going from five up: Jake Matthews, Texas A&M; Anthony Barr, UCLA; Clowney there at South Carolina. We talked with the beat reporter a couple weeks ago with the South Carolina Gamecocks and talked very directly about Clowney. And the thing is, he's very injury riddled, and has. That could hurt his value, but I'm going to put him at a number three there. And then we look at Marietta from out there in Oregon. Oregon's going to be in a national championship this year. I absolutely believe that. And then out there from Louisville, just a little south here in Indianapolis, got to be one of the top players to come out and top prospects is that Teddy Bridgewater kid from down there in Louisville.
Right. That's a pretty impressive top five list of those. Probably Anthony Barr is your top senior prospect nationally, and really the top senior in the guys that you referenced there. He is a defensive end outside linebacker, probably projects more to a 3-4 scheme outside linebacker. Quick, explosive first step. If anybody had a chance to watch the UCLA-Oregon game, he even though the Bruins were handled pretty easily in the second half, they played Oregon to a standstill in the first half, and the reason why was the UCLA defense. Very explosive, instinctive, experienced, a better pass rusher, but always around the ball. He forced a fumble, and he had a sack as well. Really impressed with him. He had a chance to come out last year and made a wise decision to come back to UCLA for his senior season, and he's going to be a top five to top ten pick, no doubt about it. You referenced Clowney as well, and that's the age-old question. You know, he came into the season kind of with the can't-miss number one overall projection label on him, and he's had kind of an up-and-down season, and he's really been questioned. Folks have questioned his desire, his commitment. Was he kind of saving himself? And it's a really interesting question, and we don't have time to talk about it today. But he comes from a very poor family background. So what's really his motivation? Who is his commitment to himself, his school, or to his family, and trying to protect himself a little bit? I will say, I think he's played a lot better since he came back from injury. He's been an impact player. The last few weeks, although in the game against Missouri last week that South Carolina came back and won, I thought he had kind of a disappearing act again. He's more of his pass rushing is his forte, and that's where he's going to get paid the big bucks on. He got washed out and walled off on a lot of running plays, so I think teams will really do their exploration on him, sit down, in-person interviews, to find out really where he measures at. He's going to be a top five pick. He just I'm not sure that he's the number one overall pick like folks expected. Bridgewater, the quarterback, he and Mariota are kind of 1-2 right now. Quarterback's going to be probably the position that teams at the top of the draft will be looking for, and it looks like right now we're talking Jacksonville and Tampa Bay. Certainly Jacksonville could use a quarterback. So I really like Teddy Bridgewater. I like him over Mariota. And I like his arm. I like his poise. He's got good size, a strong arm, nice feathery touch. He really lays the ball where the receiver can catch it easily instead of making them move or maneuver around for it. Very catchable ball. I like him, and I think that he's still a little bit under the radar. People talk about him nationally, but unless you've watched him play, I'm not sure you can appreciate how good he is. Mariota is very athletic. I am not quite as high on him as other folks, but I talked to a couple of NFL scouts at games, and you know they gushed about him. He does throw He's very, very accurate, and his mobility adds the extra dimension to that. So those guys look to be at the top of the draft. And then you mentioned Matthews. Wisely came back for his another season at Texas A&M. Solid, much in the line of Luke Jokel and Eric Fisher last year. Really solid picks. Comes from football bloodline, so you would think that he would project into a lineup pretty much from day one, and a guy that maybe doesn't have a lot of fanfare as an offensive lineman, but that you can plug in and will, you know, be solid and be contending for all-pro status for the next decade.
Well, we're talking here on College Football Saturday. My name is Mark Wazell, Presidente, host of The Balance. We're nationwide. We love having you. Also, keep in mind, guys, our encore presentation will be over on Indiana Talks from 3 to 5 this afternoon. And so if you miss any or all of this, certainly our archives as well as Indiana Talks. $2 bill. Josh didn't mean to exclude you from the conversation. Love having Jeff on. Jeff, real quickly here, when you're out there talking to those scouts, are you saying, hey, here's a free copy. You just hang on to it. Make your notes. All right, $2 bill. Josh also does a lot of following for us for the NBA and college football. And so, Josh, I know you probably have your own list, even if it's in your mind right now. Certainly you don't have to go along with the list that we did right now. But real quickly, if you could throw out a couple of your top draft prospects to Jeff, get his thoughts on it. We'd love to hear him, Josh.
Well, I'm going to throw this question out to Jeff. I threw it out to a couple other sports talk shows earlier this week, and nobody's given me an acceptable answer.
Okay.
A.J. McCarron, if I'm Tampa Bay or if I'm Jacksonville, how do you not take A.J. McCarron number one? All he's going to do is win three national titles, have two undefeated seasons, set all types of records at Alabama. How do you not take A.J. McCarron with the first pick? He's the safest quarterback pick there is coming out.
My response to that is I think that he probably suffers from the Alabama quarterback syndrome in that some of his predecessors have also had sterling records. I think he's the better prospect in terms of his overall track record, good size, good arm strength. He plays in a pro-style attack there. I think he's the victim, really, of playing on a team with surplus talent, and he gets kind of lost in the shuffle. I don't know as I like him over Teddy Bridgewater specifically, and the reason why is Bridgewater is a little bigger, has a bigger frame. McCarron is solid. He's about 6'2", 210, which is fine, but the build on him is not quite what Bridgewater has. Bridgewater's a little stockier. I also think Bridgewater has a little added mobility. McCarron, we haven't really seen that. He'll run when he has to or on occasion, and he's not bad, but I don't think he's quite as athletic as Bridgewater is. In terms of arm strength, I give Bridgewater the edge there pretty handily, although McCarron doesn't have a weak arm. He's a winner. I think that he's going to factor into probably, depending upon how the draft board falls in terms of who's drafting where, I think he's probably going to fall down towards the bottom end of the first round to someplace mid-second round. But I think he's a guy that, I like him. I've talked him up to various people, but I don't think, just personally, and it's kind of like, do you like Coke or Pepsi, you know, vanilla or strawberry or chocolate ice cream? It's kind of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great, just personally, based upon what I've seen. And I just tend to favor Bridgewater because of the things that I referenced.
We're talking with Jeff Kurtz, obviously JC7Bears on Twitter. He also does a blog for Bears Claws and author of the 2013 Slant, guide to the NFL draft. He's working on the number two, the 2014 draft. And real quickly, because we want to make sure that we get this in, how can people order the Slant for 2014? Is it ready for pre-order? What are some of the things that we need to know in order to order the Slant?
Tom, I appreciate you always giving me a chance to plug the work, and you set it up on the tee for me. So thank you. And I will say real quickly that I did have three NFL teams who purchased the book last year. So appreciative
wow.
of that. Dallas Cowboys, San Diego Chargers, and actually the Chicago Bears. And I provided a couple copies to some other folks that I saw around who also work in NFL circles. So we're online. The website is theslantdraftguide.com, all that in one word, all ran together, theslantdraftguide.com. Pre-order, so you can save $5 now. You can pre-order through an online portal that's there on the website. Save yourself some money, and that goes until the end of January. After January 31st, price goes up. So we've got some testimonials. We've got some samples of last year's books so folks can see what they're getting. We've got a blog where we try to update on different news. Obviously, the Twitter feed on there that you'll see on the website as well. So anything related to college NFL football, we try to put it on there and keep people up to date with a focus specifically on the draft for next year. And a lot of things can change, but we're getting into the time of the season where if your team's not doing as well or if you're really a hardcore college fan, you might be thinking about, how do these guys project to the next level? Who might my team be interested in and want to go after come next spring? So the order information is on there, slantdraftguide.com.
And certainly, and when you get that call from an NFL team to be one of their scouts, we want your first stop to be right here on the balance.
I won't waste time yet.
All right, sounds good. Well, let's talk real quickly. I don't know how much time you got with us, but do you have a few more minutes, Jeff?
Are you
up against the clock? We're going to go ahead and go to a break, guys. We'll get back. We'll get right into our NFL conversation. We are going to get into some NBA talk in just a minute. But while we've got Jeff here, I do want to have an opportunity to go ahead and talk with him about the Bears and what's going on in the NFL. I'll certainly get his take on a lot of different things in the NFL. My name is Al Mark with El Presidente. We'll be right back right after this.
In the 70s, they were an elite unit with names like Brick, Temp, Brian, and Ron. They rose like the phoenix, and then they were gone. Their legend became but a whisper told by the trees until now.
We're starting a 24-hour news channel, and we want you.
I'm going to do the thing that God put Ron Burgundy on this earth to do. Have salon quality hair and read the news.
This just feels right. The news team is back.
Welcome to the 80s, baby.
Is that your foot between my legs?
No.
Oh. It was my hand.
Your hair looks like wet popcorn.
I like the parts of your face that are covered with skin.
That's Jack Lime. Look at him. He's a prince.
He's not that great.
What'd you say? He said you're not that great.
Rick.
Don't stop.
Oh. I don't read Jet Magazine or Jerry Curl Daily.
What are you doing?
I'm breaking down the barriers of race by assimilation.
And on that note,
which one of you convicts with the longest record can pass me the mashed potatoes?
My. Am I right? Say what?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
All All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Harold Presidente. We're joined by $2 Bill Josh and also Jeff Kurtz, author of The Slant, 2014 Slant Guide to the Draft. And we got all that information up on social media on how you can order that book as well as the Twitter feeds as well. But also Jeff writes for Bear Claws and talks a lot about the Chicago Bears and certainly one of the experts on the Chicago Bears. And it doesn't get any better than this matchup on Monday night, classic Monday night football game. And I'm so glad that you're on with us because this is a game that I definitely wanted to talk to and break down. Chicago Bears at Green Bay Packers, Bears minus one, Jay Cutler. So, Josh, we'll go ahead and let you start the conversation off with Jeff pertaining about the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers. What a matchup. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, first of all, I really enjoy reading Bear Claw. I read it every week before I make my NFL picks. But
Thank you.
My question is, who? They got Jay Cutler and then who? They got a great defense. They got great wide receivers. I would like their running back. I think they need to upgrade at running back in the first round of the NFL draft next year. If not the first round, definitely the second round. But, Jeff, who's the quarterback Sunday?
Yeah, Monday night it's going to be Josh McCown. Josh McCown will play. Jay Cutler is still recovering from the effects of a torn muscle in his groin, and it sounds as painful as it is to talk about, but he's made a semi-miraculous recovery and was moving around pretty well at practice this week. They haven't completely ruled him out, but I think best-case scenario is that McCown will play well enough, and he did a very nice job in their previous game against Washington, coming in to relieve an injured Cutler and allow Cutler the extra week, hopeful that he'll be back for the November 10th game against Detroit, which is another huge matchup in the NFC North. But Josh McCown's going to handle things on Monday night, and we'll see how he fares against the Panthers defense that gets up some points. I think the onus is really going to be in a Chicago defense that has really seen its better days and is starting to collapse around the seams due to age, injuries, and just players not performing up to par, how they'll be able to match up against Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a telltale sign that, Green Bay seems to be operating on all cylinders. They've got a running game now with Eddie Lacy. They're draft pick from Alabama last year who has last spring who's really fit, a nice void for them, and that solid 1-2 punch between having a running game and then having Aaron Rodgers throw to a wide receiver core that's been pretty battered for Green Bay. He's thrown to a lot of guys that may not be familiar names outside of Jordy Nelson, but the Packers haven't skipped a beat. But the Bears, meanwhile, defensively, they're really struggling. They're not getting a pass rush up front. Julius Peppers, Shay McClellan have not played well. They miss Henry Melton, who went down in the Pittsburgh game for the season with an ACL injury. Then his backup, Nate Collins, also had the same thing happen to him against New Orleans. So up front and in the interior, they're really struggling. And then the safety play hasn't been very good. And Charles Tillman's been nursing a injured knee all season. So this is a matchup that you would figure to see a lot of points. I think the Bears' offense has a number of weapons that can score. I'm just not sure, and I'm as optimistic as they come from a Bears standpoint. I'm not sure that the defense will be able to hold up. We'll see.
Well, absolutely. As we know very well, the Chicago Bears have not been able to beat the Green Bay Packers with Jay Cutler or linebacker Lance Briggs in the recent years. One would think with the absence of those, that challenge is going to be even greater. We think about, the NFC Championship game back in 2010. Green Bay is a tough team to beat. But really, when the Packers and the Bears come together, especially out there in Green Bay, everything goes out the window. You never know what's going to happen. So let's look for some of the X factors for this game, Jeff, and we'll let you go and get on into the IU game. But what are some of the X factors on this Monday night game? Classic Monday night football matchup. You've got the Bears against the Packers in Lambeau Field, and really anything can happen there.
Well, I think the Bears are going to try to exploit as much as possible the Green Bay secondary. So they'll match up Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett at tight end, and I look for Matt Forte to get a lot of action, not only on the ground, but as a receiving weapon as well. Clay Matthews has been ruled out again, so he's going to be out of the Green Bay Packer lineup. Can Chicago's offensive line provide Josh McCown with time to throw? They've done a nice job. They really retooled in the offseason that offensive line, and they've played very well. They've got a rookie right side in first-round pick Kyle Long and fifth-round pick Jordan Mills, who have excelled at guard and tackle, respectively, on that right side. So offensive line has done a nice job. They can give McCown protection. He's a guy that has a good enough arm, has been a previous starter in the league, even though it's been a while ago, and has mobility. He can scramble. He's not as good a scrambler as Cutler is, but he can make some plays with his feet. On the other side of the ball, Chicago will start two rookies at linebacker. You mentioned Lance Briggs. That's a huge loss. And we'll see how long he's gone. It's projected 4 to 6 weeks, but I think he thinks he might be back sooner. They'll start two rookies, middle linebacker John Bostic, their second-round draft choice, will get his first start. And then Kasim Green, who was the fourth-round pick out of Rutgers, will step in to fill Briggs' position, and we'll see how he fares. What will Rodgers do? How will they counter that? Will they go to the run? Can Chicago, normally been a very strong rush defense, hold up? Their tackling has been very poor thus far through the first seven games of the season, so we'll see how they do in that area. As well, you know, the secondary is going to be a concern. Charles Silman has been in and out of practice the last several weeks and has missed a game due to his knee. He looks to be healthy. He practiced yesterday, as healthy as he's going to be. So we'll see how he fares. And the safety play in Major Wright and Chris Conte, those guys are coming off a particularly poor outing against Washington. They haven't been very fundamentally sound. They've blown a lot of assignments. And they're going to face a huge task against Rodgers in that Green Bay passing attack.
Well, I've been talking with Jeff Kurtz, author of the 2014 Slant, the guide, your draft guide, and we've got all the information up to order that, and also blogger for Bears Claws, follows the Chicago Bears, foremost authority in college football and NFL prospects as well. Jeff, it's always great to have you on. I know you're headed to IU, if you're not there already, to cover that big game down there, homecoming IU against Minnesota. Across the board, I know we've covered multiple of topics, as we always do with you. We greatly enjoy it. But is there anything that we've left out today that you would like to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Just one thing. Keep your eye on, from a Minnesota standpoint, the guy I'm looking for from a draft perspective is the defensive tackle, Rashid Hagerman. He is a disruptive force. He has eight tackles, tackles behind the line of scrimmage. So he's a very active defensive lineman. He's the guy that I'm really looking for from an NFL draft perspective.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something else there. All right, Jeff Kirshner, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and follow you or stalk you on social media?
Well, thanks again, Tom. Enjoyed it. SlantDraftGuide.com, BearsClawsFootball.com.
All right, Jeff, you have yourself a good weekend, and enjoy the game down there at IU. Go Hoosiers!
Take care, guys.
All right. Jeff Kurtz, we love having him on. I mean, he is just knowledgeable, so knowledgeable when it comes to college football talk. Well, guys, let's get right into it. NBA, we're going to talk NBA for the next few minutes with myself and $2 Bill Josh, just like the old days, old school. And we're going to talk some NBA, and then at the bottom of the hour here at 10:30, we are going to get ready for Fantasy Football Huddle, and we're going to talk about your stardoms, your setups. And this is a terrible week for fantasy football because all of your players could be on the bye. So we'll get into that conversation, but let's jump right in the NBA talk and our NBA analysis for the balance. It has been for a good number of years. Mr. $2 Bill Josh, the Pacers started out their season, and we saw Eric Gordon come back to the Pacers, obviously, and we saw some other IU players show up this week with a pro uniform on. So as we look at NBA going into the 2013-2014 season, we look at the Pacers being a major contender there, not just saying that because we live here in Pacer country, but this could be the year where the Indiana Pacers could get an NBA championship.
Well, absolutely. This could be the year the Indiana Pacers win an NBA championship. Paul George continues to develop. He's probably a top 8 player in the NBA now. I draft him number 5 in my NBA fantasy draft, of which I have 10 teams, and I'm winning all 10 games currently. But the NBA is my favorite sport, Tom. I like the NBA so much, I went to my boss and I requested to be able to work different hours. I go in at 7 now instead of 11, so I can be home to watch NBA from 7 to midnight every night, 7 days a week.
Well, there's dedication for you. All right, Josh, I'll tell you what, let's try to our best to break down the NBA. We'll try to fit this in every week, but let's look at some of the, I guess, burning questions, we'll call it, around the NBA. You know, sure, LeBron James is happy to see Derrick Rose back in action now. But Rose, he's healthy now, but what about another ring? Who's number 2 behind the Heat? Are we looking at Rose being that number 2 slot?
Well, if you're talking about just the East, yes, I believe it would be Chicago because of Derrick Rose being a dynamic playmaker. But if you're looking at the NBA as a whole, I believe it would be the Houston Rockets as well. I'm not just saying that because I'm a diehard Rocket fan, which I am, but Dwight Howard apparently has found the fountain of youth. He transformed himself back to the year 2003. All he's doing in the first 2 games of the season is averaging 17 points and 21 rebounds.
So let's look at the 2014 free agency. Who will devour all in the 2013 season? Hasn't even started in the offseason already is a prominent topic. So we look at the 2014 free agency. Who goes gobbling them up?
Well, let's first of all list the people who can be free agents in 2014. You got Kobe Bryant, LeBron, Wade, Bosh, Carmelo, Danny Granger. Granger maybe doesn't fit with the other 5, but those are some of the all-time greats in the NBA. Now, unfortunately, the Pacers don't have the salary cap, because I would love to see LeBron as an Indiana Pacer, but that's never going to happen. I like LeBron and Wade stay in Miami. Bosh goes to L.A. to be the next Lakers big man. And does anybody really care where Carmelo goes?
He's going to go to the Lakers. Oh, help me out here. All right, Kobe Bryant, he's not going. He's not leaving the Lakers, you think?
If he does leave the Lakers, it'll be going to go to Chicago to try to win an NBA championship with the Chicago Bulls. That's where he could say, hey, MJ, I did that too.
Hey, you know, I did want to talk with you about this here because I want to cover a wide array of NBA here for the next few minutes before we get into our NFL fantasy football talk. One of your favorite things to do is to predict which coach will go. With so many coaches and new teams and positions in the playoffs, there is I would say a lot of coaches' jobs are safe. That doesn't mean everyone is safe, and I know you like to predict those that are going to go. And I got my list. You tell me what you agree with. The Toronto Raptors, Dwayne Casey, I think they've got a new CEO out there. I think that's just a perfect storm brewing that coach is going. Washington Wizards coach, Randy Whitman, I think he's in the final year of his deal, and expectations are very high for the Wizards to play in the playoffs. And so what about some of the other coaches that you might think about?
Well, I agree with Casey's probably gone. Randy Whitman or Ben Davis Lum's probably gone. Mike D'Antoni probably gets fired by the Wizards. By the Lakers, rather. If the Warriors don't do anything in the playoffs, Mark Jackson probably gets fired. And Tom, I might take back something I said earlier.
Oh, Brad you Stevens, might take you back something.
Brad Stevens, you shouldn't have listened to me. Bad idea. Bad idea. He looks completely overwhelmed. He's chewing on his fingernails, sweating profusely. He looks like, oh, my, what did I get myself into? Stevens, if you took my advice, which I don't think you did, go back to college. Wait for a job. Go back. You don't belong. Go back.
Well, let's let him prove himself. I mean, let's let him prove himself. I love Brad Stevens. I want to see him succeed. I don't want to wish anything bad on him. Let's let him go through a season, and he's going to have some bumps and bruises. It is the NBA. You can't expect him to go into the NBA and have the kind of record with the Celtics and seasons that he's had with the Butler Bulldogs. Two different worlds, two different things. I want to see him succeed. Hopefully he does well. Let's talk about some of the games on deck right now for today. We got the Pacers and the Cavs, 7 o'clock. Let's start with that. Obviously, Pacers right here in our backyard. We talked about them a while ago. Pacers have all the tools and the instruments to get to a championship this year. Cleveland Cavaliers coming here to the Pacers. What are the thoughts? What are the keys to that game? Pacers winning tonight.
Well, Paul George needs to have a third consecutive strong game. He's going to need to play big every game to prove he's a true NBA superstar. Or Hibbert, you got to stay out of foul trouble, big fella. Hey, Tom, why doesn't Frank Vogel get more luck? He may be the best coach in the NBA, but he's never talked about. Why do you think that is?
Who's that?
Frank Vogel. Why don't you think he gets any more love than he does?
He's with the Pacers. That's the only reason. I mean, it's just like with the Colts or just any other team that's located here in Central Indiana. We don't get the love from the mainstream media. That's why. And that's the only reason that is. Well, let's get in, and I want to talk about this, and certainly we talked about Eric Gordon making an appearance against the Pacers. What do you think about him coming back to Indiana to play against the Pacers? What do you think about that game and Eric Gordon's performance?
Well, I thought Eric Gordon looked like what he is. He's injury-prone. He might only be 26. He has the body of a 45-year-old now, at least the knees of a 45-year-old.
Hey, watch it. I turned 45, and you're right. I can hardly get up and down off the couch, so go ahead.
It's good to see him getting some playing time, averaging 10 points a ball game, but I don't think he really fits in New Orleans. I would love to see him come be an Indiana Pacer backup, though.
Hey, that'd be great. All right, let's move along. Another IU player making an appearance in the NBA with the Charlotte Bobcats. One big guy, Cody Zeller, made an appearance this past week, and they're taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. He'll be able to come across his old teammate as well. Talk with us a little bit about that matchup, the Bobcats and the Pelicans. And Cody Zeller, big expectations from him in the NBA.
Well, the Charlotte Bobcats are absolutely underrated. I have them as the seventh seed in the East. They play stifling defense. Let's not forget they have Josh McRoberts from Carmel, Indiana on the team. Cody Zeller's an IU alum. And they're playing really good defense. Cody Zeller's really young. He probably should have stayed at IU another year or two. He'll average about 10 minutes a game. And I look for Charlotte to win that game tonight.
Hey, that is going to be a great game. I got so much going on, I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to watch that game. Certainly going to try to pick up some games of the Pacers. We're looking at the Grizzlies and the Mavericks tonight. What are some of the things that you're looking for in that game?
Well, Dirk Nowitzki fouled out last night in the Mavericks loss. They're now 0-2 on the season. The Grizzlies survived the Detroit Pistons 111-108 in overtime. Should be a great defensive game. 13-90 points wins.
And you cut out there, Josh. Who wins?
The first team to get to 90 will win that game.
Oh, I gotcha. All right. We look at the game out west. A couple games going on out in the west tonight. We look at the San Antonio Spurs and the Portland Trailblazers. That, if you have enough gas in you to stay up that late and watch that game, that's probably going to be a good game, classic matchup between two powerhouses out in the West. You look at the Spurs and the Trailblazers tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. What are your thoughts on that game?
Well, I look for the young Blazers to run the very, very, very old Spurs off the floor. Spurs played a tough game against the Lakers last night. they're no longer the young, fresh chickens. They're kind of more the Father Time, Father Abraham age category now. I just don't think they're young enough to be able to win games on back-to-back nights anymore.
All right, the other game going out there west is the Battle of the Bay team, Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors is another, well, I think it's an underrated team this year, and it has some weapons to turn some stuff around this year.
I absolutely agree. Golden State's a great team. They got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, David Lee. They got former Pacer Jermaine O'Neal. Their head coach is a former Indiana Pacer, Mark Jackson. Sacramento is now partially owned by Shaquille O'Neal, for those who didn't know. Should be a great game between two of the youngest teams in the NBA. For those of you who don't like defense, think defense is a waste of time, tune in to watch the Kings and the Warriors tonight. Probably be 120-115 final.
Well, we're talking to $2 Bill Josh, our NBA analyst for The Balance, and has been for a good number of years. And certainly we'll be talking with him hopefully every week, but certainly as much as we can, and get caught up on the NBA. A good long season is just underway. It's a marathon. It's not a race. So what you see today is not necessarily indicative of what's going to happen with the NBA in a few months from now. All right, Josh, we're going to give you about 3 minutes. Go ahead and rant on the 2013-2014 NBA season.
Well, this is the season the Miami Heat winning championship three comes to an end. I expect it to be Rockets faces in the NBA Finals. Today at noon, NBA TV is taking us back 20 years with the return of NBA Inside Stuff, last seen on TV in 1993. That new host of the show will be Kristen Ledlow and Grant Hill. Also look for 5 coaches to get fired this season. And Paul George is going to win NBA Most Valuable Player.
It's your ranch? You know, I've trained myself to just sit back and wait for a big undercovering of stuff. So, all right, well, $2 Bill Josh, are you going to stick around for Fantasy Football Huddle? Or?
No, I've had some stuff I got to do, but you guys have a great week, and I'll join you next Saturday for College Football Talk.
All right, buddy. We'll do it, sir. Have yourself a good weekend. $2 Bill Josh joining us to talk some NBA and talk a little college football with us. But a great first hour, guys. I really want to thank Walter Cox from ESPN Pit Spotter for joining us and really have a lot of fun with him. Jeff Kurtz, author of the 2014 Slant, a guide to the 2014 draft, obviously a sequel to the 2013 draft, and blogger and writer for Bears Claws, talks everything about the Chicago Bears. And $2 Bill Josh also joining us for our NBA segment. That's one great thing about The Balance here. We do everything that we can do to cover as much as we possibly can. And we will get into some hockey talk here as things move along. I know we have a lot of hockey fans here, and we certainly get some interaction with that. If you like hockey, though, make sure you tune in on Indiana Talks, who airs all the Indiana Ice games, or at least most of them. And you go there, www.indianatalks. We'll be on Indiana Talks this afternoon between 3 and 5, an encore of this show. If it's in Indiana and they're talking on Indiana Talks. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We'll be right back with Fantasy Football Huddle right here on The Balance.
What does the fox say? What the fox say? What the fox say? Hockey, 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 ho.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, ProIndy, and on Facebook, IndyProSports.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network nationwide. My name's Al Marquis, El Presidente. Just wrapped up our NBA preview for you, talking about the Pacers, the Charlotte Bobcats, and, of course, the Cody Zeller making his appearance in the NBA with $2 Bill Josh. Also, Jeff Kurtz joined us, and ESPN pit spotter, Mr. Walter Cox, talking about NASCAR out there in Texas. But, guys, I know this is what you've waited for all day long. That's why we saved the best for last. Fantasy football huddle. It is that week. The nightmare. Is it coincidence that the biggest bye week in NFL happens on Halloween week? Scary, scary, scary stuff. But to help us not be so scared is Mr. Jared Calhoun. Jared, all my players are on bye, brother.
Oh, man. That's a draft strategy problem. You got to watch that little column.
There's a reason they put bye weeks there, and I get that, you know. And unfortunately, in the league that we play in together, whew, it's coming to a head. Let's talk about that for a little bit here. And you know, there might be some other leagues out there that are having similar problems. And, you know, I don't want to call out people's names or anything, but you certainly know who I'm talking about. You're very much in the contention for being in the playoffs. You got team owners like myself who really realize I'm done. I am playing through the season. I'm done. I'll try to make the best that I can out of a bad situation. You know, I thought you and I were going to – I was going to have an actual victory over you last week, but that didn't happen. But you can't win scoring 70 points in fantasy football. That's been my situation. So we've got another guy in our league at work that goes 16 teams deep. Now, that's deep anyway. And it really becomes a challenge if you don't draft right. And like you said, draft strategy, especially in a league that deep, means everything. So what we have is a player in a very similar situation like mine who is trying to make some trades, and you've got somebody who's in a mediocre situation that picking up some of these trades could actually benefit them. So it's kind of creating a stir of friendly controversy, if you will, between other owners, because it does affect the competition level. So, you know, we won't call anybody's names out, but you certainly know the scenario. Talk about that scenario, and what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, the unfortunate thing here is you've got some people who aren't involved, and this goes back to, like, your etiquette of fantasy football. So you don't drop players at the end of the year. You don't just, you know, give up and ruin the spirit of friendly competition. You hold on to your guys. You try to do your best. So it stinks is when guys don't care. You know, the only way to get a trade accepted is to go to them in person and ask them to accept it. You know, that ain't right. So, you know, you can't be sending, you know, trades like Vincent Jackson for Marques Colston. I mean, look at the performance over the last couple weeks. It's just ridiculous. Yes, Marques Colston could blow up. Yes, Vincent Jackson could be awful with Mike Glennon as his quarterback. But that hasn't happened yet. So let's deal in actualities and not probabilities. And, you know, and then we have the situation we're looking at. You know, Arian Foster for LeGarrette Blount, you know, what? And, you know, back up Jason Campbell for Andy Dalton. No, thank you. So we got a guy who, you know, is right in the middle of the standings making these deals, trying to get into a guy who's 0-7 or 0-8. I don't know what it is. So it's just dumb because we've got peanuts and we've got jelly beans on the line for this league. So you got to be a little bit more serious.
Well, absolutely, and we do have a few jelly beans on the line here, and you know maybe it wouldn't matter so much if those jelly beans weren't on line, and you know, so it makes a big difference. Well, let's talk about this week. Certainly, week nine is one of the biggest. Well, I think probably the biggest week. Maybe last week was a little. I think this week is probably the biggest for buys. You had Arizona, Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, Giants, and San Francisco, which a lot of great players play on those teams in different capacities. So a lot of your key good players could possibly be on a buy. So you're talking about draft strategy. Okay, there's a reason that that's in that column, and you've obviously proven that you've got a great draft strategy. But you got guys like me that didn't do that so well. And I literally was stuck in a situation to where I didn't have anybody to play. And I had to make some choices and go out there on the waiver wire and pick up a weak or mediocre player just to fill my roster. So how does a player, or you talk about that mediocre, someone who's right there on the bubble, maybe who could get enough to get into the playoffs and remain competitive, so they're not washed out, but they didn't do well in their draft. So now it comes to a head here in week nine. How does one combat that? Because you look at a situation, you could be looking at, hey, I may have to make an executive decision to drop one of my better players just so I can have somebody to play in my slot this week.
Yeah, you basically should never get yourself in that position. Unless your team's in first place, usually you don't have that problem. So you want to look ahead. You want to draft right. You know, I understand bargain values, and you got to take the guy, and you got to take him, you know, regardless of 1 week. But that's something you really want to be looking ahead for. There's a, you know, on multiple websites, there's a schedules button, and that you need to be looking at your backups 2 to 3 weeks in advance. So if you're hitting the waiver wire on bye week, you're going to be actually spending your top waiver pick sometimes for that best quarterback, the flavor of the week. So, you know, that's one thing you don't want to be looking at. You know, I know Roddy White has been underperforming, but in our work league, you had dropped him. I think you're just tired of it. But
I got tired of waiting on him. I'll be honest with you. I got tired of – I become impatient. I got tired of waiting and watching him blow it up this week. You're absolutely right. I got to the point of just saying he's not going to do anything this year at all. And I'm wishful thinking here. And I you're right. That's exactly what happened.
And that league is deep enough to where, you know, there's not really a ton of good receivers on the line. So if are available. So, you know, I can wait because my bench is so chunky. I've got Deji Kareem and Ray Graham on my bench, you know. So I've got room for some play there, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I put him there just because that's a stash for the playoffs. I'm in contention. You know, maybe he and Matt Ryan get it together for week 14 and 15, and maybe that's 15 points a week for me. Who knows? I don't know. That's just something you can a strategy you can employ. So as you're looking at your bye week, though, you don't want to be dropping your key guys. And I know that, you know, Roddy White's not a key guy. I'm not saying that. But you want to be holding on to those guys with potential. You definitely don't want to shoot yourself in the foot for the rest of the season just to drop one guy or to pick up one position. So, you know, I've heard people go, hey, I'm going to take a zero because I don't want to lose anybody on my team.
Well, let's do a recap of last week. I know we had multiple people involved, so just kind of talk about some of the players that we talked about. I think the top player of last week was Steven Ridley with the Patriots, 14 fantasy points, and I think he was projected 14. He got 13. So you look at that, and you look at some of the people that we talked about. Go ahead and start. If you start him, I think that it was a good choice. You look at Andy Dalton, quarterback. for the Bengals. What a game he had. Darren McFadden, again, 19 points last week. Jordan Reed, and again, I understand the points might be a little bit different depending on where you're at. I'm doing the average because for some reason in different leagues, the points weighs more on other. So what I'm doing is giving you the average points that he scored in multiple leagues. So when I give you that number, and of course, we talked about how powerful of a position that the tight end slot could be. And we talked about that last week, that maybe you want, instead of looking at your running backs, tight end is a good place to do that. And if you follow that advice and you played or picked up Jordan Reed, certainly that was another good pickup. I think he got 9. He was projected with 11 points. So we look at the players from last week, and certainly feel free to add this to the list as well. But I think that there was a lot of players, if they had followed our advice last week, probably came out on the pleasant end of the smelling of the rose.
Yeah, absolutely. Scoring leaders, you know, if you look at my blog last week, I like to, you know, look back at that and kind of see how my prediction succeeded. You know, Marvin Jones had a fantastic week. I called, you know, I don't know what type of leagues you're in, but 10 points for me in a 16-team league from a running back is awesome. I got 10 points out of Monte Ball, you know, called that last week. It's definitely something I'm excited about. Jordan Reed, definitely a good situation. So, there was, I guess there was some, you know, worry about Jimmy Graham being hurt last week, but he's just proven that he only needs a couple red zone opportunities to be productive. So those are the guys you want to, you know, keep rolling, those top elite guys you never want to sit unless you have to.
We talk about people that maybe people started just because of who he is. But we recommended that people start RG3 last week, and he hit the tank. He only got 5 points last week. In other ones, you know, Josh Gordon, we recommended that people play him, and he only got 9 points. And, you know, Zach Stacy, and I made a move for him this week.
Wow.
In one of my leagues.
Yeah.
He collapsed as well. We thought he was going to get like 13 points. He got less than half of that. So situations like that. Can you look back at last week and you see Robert Griffin only scoring RG3, only scoring 5 points. Darren Sproles not scoring any. Reuben Randall not scoring any. I don't have my list right here with me, but I could be wrong on that. But Swirls and Randalls didn't score any points based on my list. And Josh Gordon, again, Zach Stacy and Timothy Wright with the Bucks there, very much on the low-ending scoring thing. Anything you can attribute to that? Because we look at the Redskins and the Saints, the Browns, the Rams, the Bucks, some really good players across the league last week that just didn't do squat.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a case of, you know, guys every week, you know, they can't perform at that elite level. I mean, just look at what happened last night with Andy Dalton, or Thursday night with Andy Dalton putting up 5 points for folks, you know. It really just goes to show you who is elite and who is not. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers puts up those huge points every week. Andy Dalton does not. You know, I don't think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to go away, but just a few weeks of those big points, you know, that's definitely not something you want to buy into. So, you know, that's why you always want to play your matchups. At this time of the year, I like to encourage guys to make sure you're going with the guy who has the better matchup, so the bad defenses, the guys with the hurt defenses types of things. Where they were drafted is not a good indication of, you know, their present value. It's very much like a stock situation. They go up and down during the season. So, I mean, yeah, RG3 last week, you know, 3 points. It goes up and down. You know, I can't even tell you what happened in that game. But all I know, you know, he left early with an injury scare, and, you know, that's one of those things, it's a kind of a freak thing. So, that's definitely, you know, something you want to look out for when you're drafting is like, hey, which guy is reliable?
Well, let's look at this weekend. Are you still with us there, Jared? Okay. I thought I lost you. I thought I lost you there for a minute. Let's look at, you know, really, and again, going back to the bye weeks and the matchups, you nailed it on the head there. But this is a great week, and I know you're a big fan of his. And maybe I again, in my haste, I look back at a lot of – if I had not had my freak-out moment, remember we talked about that, where I just kind of just was just crazy going – just getting rid of people, not doing stuff. Well, Terrell Pryor was one of those guys that we talked about. And mm-hmm. certainly when he was here in Indianapolis, proved that he can run. He's a miniature Michael Vick, if you will, in a lot of ways, especially in the way that he does. This might be the week that you start Pryor over a lot of key marquee quarterbacks, even Andrew Luck or Jay Locke or Tom Brady or Roethlisberger or Matt Ryan. You might think about starting Terrell Pryor this week over any of those.
Yeah, I agree. Now, everything comes with a grain of salt, you know. So look at what Pryor did last week versus the Steelers. You know, he had one huge run, 16 points, and that's pretty much all he did last week. He had an awful passing week, no passing touchdowns. You know, it was kind of the Darren McFadden show. So I'm not sure if I'm starting, you know, Terrell Pryor over Andrew Luck. Now, with that being said, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, Andrew Luck is a guaranteed, you know, 20 points this week. As much as they're trying to run the ball, things like that. So it's really just a roll of the dice. You know, Terrell Pryor could light up the Eagles, who have been bad, but the Texans have not been good either on defense. So it's really a, you know, where do you go? I would go with Andrew Luck over Pryor this week, no doubt.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's going to be a great game. I was talking to my buddy via text, and I talked to him on the phone yesterday afternoon, beat reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles, Ed Kratz, and he was just giving me a little bit of nuggets. And quite frankly, behind the scenes, the Eagles are a little bit worried about the Raiders, and one of those guys they're worried about is Terrell Pryor. And I tell you what, this could be the week that Terrell Pryor really lights it up and could, you know, get you, you know, 20-plus points in a matchup with the Eagles like this, and we'll see what happens. Perfect segue into our stardom and setups. We want to get through as many positions as we can, so we'll start with the quarterback position. Again, I've made a miniature list. Certainly, Jared, you don't have to have my list. You could go with any list that you have, but we look at quarterbacks to start this week, and hopefully we'll do a little bit better this week in recommendations. And one of those I had was Andy Dalton, so I mean, that's a moot point, so we won't even talk about that game. But Russell Wilson, I want to give RG3 another chance against San Diego and Jake Locker and Phillip Rivers as well. And Phillip Rivers, that's a little nugget that's been laying out there. Certainly everybody knows Phillip Rivers is. But you look at him, really, if you want to talk about it, even though he's a veteran, sometimes we talk about sleepers, we talk about rookies because we don't know a lot about them. But veterans can be sleepers too, and we walked into the fantasy year this year, a lot of talk wasn't being done about Phillip Rivers. Certainly Phillip Rivers has proven to be one of those sleepers on your team. So this might be one of those weeks that you start him. Again, Russell Wilson, Jake Locker, and Phillip Rivers.
No, I agree with each of those. I think, you know, Robert Griffin has practiced fully this week. That's the guy you want to play. Jake Locker versus the Rams. You know, I'm not sure what happened last week with the Seahawks. You know, I hadn't watched that game, so I don't get the NFL Network. So I'm just seeing some highlights, and it's kind of a weird game. You know, it was a short week. I think that was weird is what it was. You always hear the short week games are kind of weird. So that's something you want to – go ahead.
No, I was just going to give you a hard time about not having the NFL Network, but go ahead. Go ahead. We're at a four-way stop here. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, so that's weird. And then, you know, you've got guys like Matt Ryan with all the injury questions going up against Carolina. Well, he's been decent the past couple weeks, but, you know, is that someone you want to, you know, take a risk on against the top defense? That's where these matchups come in. So there's a lot of guys kind of in that middle lane. You know, Tom Brady going up against the Steelers, you know, who shut down Terrell Pryor for all, you know, all facets. And they have been running the ball a lot more. So one of my big early season trades in another league was I dealt Matt Stafford for Tom Brady. I thought I would be more secure down the stretch with Tom Brady, and that is actually killing me. So, you know, you got to look at these matchups. So against a decent defense last week, you know, Matt Ryan only had, you know, nine points. So you really got to just make sure you're looking at these. It's a crazy week, you know. Alex Smith, you know, he might be a guy that I'd want to play over some of these kind of, you know, iffy guys. Alex Smith's been solid. He's going up against a bad defense in Buffalo. Look out for that. You know, somebody sneaky this week. If you're super desperate, Josh McCown for the Bears. I think Green Bay's defense is pretty bad, and he's been decent. So maybe you run him out there and see what happens.
Absolutely. We were talking about that very same quarterback earlier on with Jeff Kurtz, author of The Slant, the 2014 guide to the NFL draft, and also writer of Bears Claws for the Chicago Bears. We were talking about Josh McCown, and you're right, that's a huge sleeper. You know, I think I picked up a pretty good sleeper, at least for our league, the best that I can do. Again, going back to that situation, I'm just trying to survive at this point. I know I'm completely out of condition, so I'm just trying to survive. But Case Keenum has now been named the starting quarterback for Houston,
yeah,
against Indianapolis. I think that's a great sleeper. And then, of course, Alex Smith at Buffalo. Buffalo's allowed four quarterbacks to score at least 20 fantasy points. So by that stat alone, if you're looking at stats when you set your lineups, Alex Smith would think be one of those sleepers that you would want to look at. All right, let's certainly, if you want to talk about setting the quarterbacks, Ben, this is not a good week for Ben Roethlisberger. We just talked about Nick Foles at Oakland. And I tell you, I got a little bit of an inside scoop on that. I would not start Nick Foles under any circumstances this week against Oakland. Ryan Tannehill, I like him. You know, I'm thinking when the Colts played Miami, and we saw Ryan Tannehill, I'm like, who is this quarterback? Pretty good. Matt Ryan at Carolina, I like Matt Ryan, and I've got him in a couple other leagues. I like Geno Smith, but these are just weeks that I just think that you got to steer clear of. And Tom Brady, this week he's going to go in the tanker. And, you know, I think you don't want to set Tom Brady. You don't want to set Andrew Luck. But sometimes those decisions have to be made. And this week I would definitely set Tom Brady. We look last week, Dallas, Dez Bryant. Everybody's been talking about it, so let's chime in on it a little bit. How immature was that? One of our top fantasy players out there, one of the best players in the league, totally lost his cool with his quarterback and his coaches and his teammates on the sideline that seemed to go on forever. Absolute embarrassment to the Dallas Cowboys. Jared, I'll get your name,
yeah,
right. I'm sorry. Here we go, sir. Jared, go right ahead, buddy.
You know, honest, I saw it. I saw what he was saying. Yeah, obviously don't like to see somebody arguing on the sideline, but got to be taken into context with the fact that he was just being passionate about winning the game. You know, he's a winner. He likes to win. So that's definitely something that was going on there. And I'm not going to hold it against a guy like Dez Bryant, who, you know, wasn't being, you know, yelling at somebody and derating somebody, but he was really just saying, hey man, we got to do this to win type of thing. So I wish more guys played with that type of passion in the NFL.
Well, and there's one thing, I'm all for passion, and again, we don't have time to get into this debate because I want to get into some of these other starters and setups, but there's one thing to be passionate, and you can explode like that in the locker room, but when all eyes are on you, especially if you're Dez Bryant, you know, we look at the same situation with Jimmy Johnson capped off about Deion Sanders. Hey, you know, hey, I remember the days back with Deion Sanders. Here's the thing, and what it shows me is that you're an owner who does not demand respect from your players, and you basically let them do whatever. You're basically saying to Dez Bryant, hey, you play for the Cowboys, it's acceptable. Well, it's not acceptable, and I wish that we had time to get into that. Let's get into some of the starting running backs. Chris Johnson at St. Louis. You know, certainly this was a guy we've been talking about for a few weeks now, and you know, coming in after week bye, and you, I think, a few weeks ago said it would be a good time to pick up Chris Johnson, put him on your bench, and maybe be able to buy him at a low-type situation. So certainly a good week to probably start him, Danny Woodhead and Ray Rice at Cleveland. Mike Tolbert, now, you know, we can let the cat out of the bag. I picked him up on your advice. Wasn't that enthused with him last week, but I'm to that point where I'm just he does well, he does well, he doesn't do well. Mike Tolbert, a lot of people are saying go ahead and start him. So you look at your starting running backs. Who are you looking at there, Jared?
Well, I'm a Zach Stacy believer. I think he's good to go for this weekend. So, I mean, he put up 13 points, something like that, in straight rushing yards against the Seahawks last week. Yeah, that's a lot, 130 yards versus the Seahawks. So I think you're looking at somebody maybe a little bit special here with Zach Stacy, maybe somebody they can build around a little bit. And that's the guy I'm getting in my lineup. And there's the top guys. And, you know, you've got to take a look at Trent Richardson. I know we love Trent. He's here in Indianapolis. You know, all the potential in the world, but the points have just not been there. So they're using him in this, like, move the chains role, and he's not getting a lot of touchdowns. And, you know, Donald Brown's the guy that's getting these, like, long runs. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to go out and say that you have to start Trent Richardson in the standard league. Now, in a 16-team like league like ours, you're not sick, you know, obviously.
Sure.
But there's a lot going on here. You need to monitor a C.J. Spiller situation. If you've got a better option, if you've got a Darren Sproles or an Arian Foster who practiced in full this week, or, maybe a Willis McGahee, maybe you're going with them over him. You just don't know what C.J. Spiller is going to do. You know, he could bust off that like he did against the Browns, not completely healthy. He got a 60-yard run and a touchdown. And then he's put a goose egg since against the quality defense. So definitely a guy you got to look out for. You know, you've got your D'Angelo Williams. Yes, there's a lot of competition there, but he's at least going to play. Jaquizz Rodgers, yes, Steven Jackson's in. But Steven Jackson looked like an elephant running around on the field last week. He was so slow. So he just didn't have his quickness that he's had. So, look, you've got some options there. You know, I think Donald Brown is a decent option. The way that they, as much as the Colts are running, you might get 10 points there if you need it. So there's a lot of options floating around out there right now.
All right, guys. Well, that's gonna get us real close to the end of the clock here. Unfortunately, the clock waits for nobody. We always like to give time for our rant. So, Jared Calhoun, rant what you say you on today's rant.
All right. Well, happy Halloween. And I hope you all had a good, week trick-or-treating. So my rant for the week is going to be on those fantasy owners that don't manage their teams. Oh, my gosh. We talked about this a little bit earlier. But how hard is it to get into something, pay your jelly beans, and then not try to throw it at the end of the year? Let's get serious, people. I'm just over it. Make sure you – how hard is it to pick a guy up and set your lineup? It takes 1 minute. Literally 1 minute to set your lineup. So get out there, do your thing. Don't ruin other people's fun.
All right, Jared Calhoun, Fantasy Football Huddle for you today. And you can follow Jared's blogs on www.thebalanceonline.com. And where can people find you on Twitter?
J. Calhoun Indy.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, sir. And you have yourself a good and productive week, sir.
All right, catch you later.
All right, buddy. Jared Calhoun, a co-worker of mine over at Gannett. Certainly enjoy having him on Fantasy Football Huddle. All right, time for my rant, guys. I'll make this quick. I pretty much tipped my hat a little bit about my rant with Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, what an embarrassment you were to the Dallas Cowboys, to the NFL, and to your fans. You are a better person than that. You are a top-notch receiver in the NFL. You are getting paid millions of dollars. Guess what? Sometimes you're not always going to get the ball. Sometimes the game is going to be on the line. Sometimes it's going to be tough. And when you've got just a few seconds left, that is not the time to be on the sideline yelling at your coaches, your quarterback, what have you. Guess what? Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to see that. Dez Bryant, keep that in the locker room where it belongs with your teammates. Keep that trash off the field. Well, guys, that's going to do it for me. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you next week right here on the Balance Radio Network. And make sure you catch us on Indiana Talks between the hours of 3 and 5 this afternoon.
What does the fox say?
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.